You're with Annie on 3CR Breakfast on Saturday, and we are going to go straight down to Federation Square. It was yesterday at Friday, the June the 3rd. It was 12 p.m. and this is what happened to celebrate Mabo's Day.
My name's Joseph Toscano. Welcome to Mabo Day. I am continuing a tradition. My wife, who died on the 2nd of June 2017, initiated in 2003 to have a little celebration 4,000 kilometres from the Torres Strait, acknowledging the important work and the important decision that was made on the 3rd of June 1992, when the High Court of Australia, believe it or not, found that this country's Indigenous inhabitants, who'd been here for over 60,000 years, had rights to land in law because of their prior occupation of this land. Interestingly, the lead judge in the High Court, who made the determination in 1992, Justice Brennan, died yesterday. On the same day that Helen died 5 years ago. So obviously the case was interesting. And as we speak today, there is a native title conference on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, where over 1,000 delegates from Indigenous communities across the country have come together to discuss the issue of native title. Now, what native title did is cause consternation, because for the first time in this country's colonial history, questions were asked about the legitimacy of the colonisation process. Because although the Mabo decision didn't acknowledge that people who had been dispossessed and forced from their land still had a continuing association, it did highlight that those who were able to cling to that land had rights in law. And as you know, a capitalist society is based on the concept of private investment for private profit. Therefore, any attack on the idea that the occupation was illegal because there'd been people here previously was an extraordinary period. And those of you who are old enough to remember 1992 will remember when the media went haywire and the politicians went haywire and talked about bucket loads of extinguishment as far as the High Court decision was concerned. This was an interesting case because these were ordinary people. These were people who lived on Mur or had been expelled from Mur, a small island in the eastern Torres Strait. And Eddie Koike Mabo was working as a gardener at James Cook University. I think you like the irony of that. In the 70s. And he'd been a man who'd been expelled from his traditional homeland on Mur because he was considered to be a troublemaker. At that time, in the 50s and 60s and the 70s, the department had total control over the lives of Indigenous people. Total control. I'd like to welcome Libra Toscano, my daughter, and Ellen's daughter, and our special guest, Eli Sassaman, who will continue the tradition. Come and stand next to me, Eli. Okay, so he's not shy. I'm teaching them young. Hello, Eli. Pleased you could make it. So, in 2002, this whole square was full of people celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Mabo decision. The maid, people who were involved in the decision, had come down to Melbourne to celebrate that 10th anniversary. There was a dance crew from the Torres Strait. There were people There were survivors of the legal action, because the legal action was taken by three people. Eddie Koiki Mabo, Father Passy, and Grandfather Rice. Although Eddie was the principal, he had these other two Torres Strait Mer elders were involved in the court case. The court case drifted through the courts of Queensland for 10 years. This is during the Bjelke-Petersen period. And then with the assistance of a pro bono legal firm based here in Melbourne, it eventually found its way to the Supreme Court. Sorry, the High Court, went to the Supreme Court, then the High Court in Canberra. And on the 3rd of June 1992, the High Court found that Indigenous Australians had rights to land in law. But more importantly, it found that when the flag was planted in 1770 and James Cook claimed the east coast of Australia on behalf of the British Crown, believe it or not, there were actually people living here. Because if you go through the legal fiction, it was based on this concept of terra nullius, the land of no one, because they couldn't see any towns and cities. So why do we gather? Now, in the Torres Strait, this is a public holiday, and there'll be hundreds, if not thousands, of people celebrating that decision. On the Sunshine Coast, as I said today, there is a huge conference of native title with delegates from all over the country looking at this issue. Now, there has been a lot of work in the last 20 years done to water down the Mabo decision and to actually water down the importance of that judicial finding, where the colonisers found that the colonisation was based on the wrong principle. And that's the key. They found that. Now, Ellen Jose was the chair of the Wongai Association in 2002. She gave a speech at Melbourne Town Hall introducing Eddie Mabo's family who'd come down in 2002 and spoke on behalf of the Wongai Association. Now, in the Torres Strait, there's a tradition, and this is a very cheeky piece of sculpture which the Ellen Jose Memorial Foundation still holds. And the tradition is very simple, that 3 to 4 years after somebody has died, there is what's called a tomb opening ceremony. Now, they don't open the tomb, you can relax. What they do is they set up a headstone. And that's the end of the mourning period. They set up a headstone to acknowledge that. So in 1995, 1996, Ellen had this great idea of doing a tomb opening for Terra Nullius. And if you look at the inscription on the sculpture, it says, "Rest in peace, Terra Nullius, 26th of January 1788 to the 3rd of June 1992. And to our chagrin, although Ellen has got many paintings and installations in many public institutions in this country, not one public institution was willing to buy that work, although it toured around Australia for over a year. So at some stage we will reconstruct that. But again, that's a cheeky, ironical take on the decision. So I remember we've been here, sometimes we'd come here and there'd be only three or four of us, sometimes there'd be a few more, sometimes there'd be less. Unfortunately, you'll find that the further south you go from the Torres Strait Islands, the less interest there is in the Mabo decision. But without the Mabo decision, all these land claims that have been now been successful, although they've had to fight through the courts, all these, this is Ellen trying to tell me to get it to shut up, all right? All these land claims that have gone through the courts would never have gone through. Unfortunately, there are negative aspects to the land rights, to the native title legislation, where it pits so-called traditional owners against other traditional owners. We are now finding state governments, like the Victorian state government, which has gone on this reconciliation journey, picking and choosing which group will represent people, Indigenous people, and currently there are a number of court cases in the federal courts where what the Victorian government has been doing is picking and choosing the weaker associations and freezing out the more radical association. And what that means is that they have no rights to participate in any official function. And it's quite a... There are a number of federal court cases now going down that track, and there's been a number of federal court cases. But that's got... Again, that is an unhappy event. But all I can say is it's great to see you all here. I'd like to thank Eli for making you all the way here. Did you walk? No, right, okay. It would have been about 30 kilometres if you walked. You would have started about 3 o'clock in the morning, eh? You want to say hello to everybody? Yeah, he helped us last week on flag raising day. He was giving out the awards to the students in Bayside who'd done some beautiful artwork, and I recommend you go and have a look at that. You can do it on site. Just go to the Bayside City Council website. Now, I'm also going to do an invitation. I want all of you to think seriously about coming to the Ellen Jose Art Award, which will be finalised on the 2nd of July. It's a joint effort by the Ellen Jose Memorial Foundation, Bayside City Council and the Bayside Gallery. It was a national competition for female artists between 18 and 35. Ellen left two instructions in her will, and one of those was to promote the idea of reconciliation, which this is part of that, and the other one was to actually organise support for young female artists or people who identify as female. So it's a wide definition. It includes, because Ellen was not just a First Nations person, she was an internationalist, she was an anarchist, she understood the universal story of human existence. She met First Nations people from around the world, including Canada and Japan and many other, China and many other places. So she understood the international. So that'll be at 2 o'clock. You don't need an invitation, you just turn up. If you keep looking at Facebook pages and that, you'll see information about that. But we'd like to make that, it's the inaugural art award. It was a national award. There are 6 finalists, I think one from each state. A wide range of women, young women, from diverse backgrounds, asylum seekers, refugees, Indigenous people, you name it. There was over 400 entries for the first competition. So anybody would like to stand next to Eli, who's the master of ceremonies here, and say a few words? Jacob, I'd like to invite you as another representative of the Indigenous community. Jacob is a great friend. Him and the West Papuans came and sang to Ellen when she was dying. We'll never thank them for that, and they came and sang at her funeral. Now, Jacob is a guerrilla fighter. He spent over a decade in jail, most of it in solitary confinement. He's one of the senior members of the West Papuan Transitional Government. And obviously the struggle for human rights is not just a struggle limited to this country's First Nations people and everybody else in this country who's treated as second-rate citizen, but West Papua is 67 kilometres to Albanese. He would have gone to Indonesia. He would not have raised the issue of West Papua, but he'll be very happy, like Mr. Morrison was, to raise the issue of human rights in China, but not willing to raise the issue of human rights in West Papua, where over 500,000 people from an Indigenous population of around 1 million have died in that struggle during the past 60 years. So, Dr. Rubia.
Thank you, Dr. Joe. And also, good afternoon for all of us. Today is the 10th of June. We are in here to pay our respect to our indigenous leader, Mabu, and also those stand behind his struggle, because this part of the basic right of human rights. And when we talk about basic right of human right, it's part of land. Land is the place of all life, keep life and they continue the generation. In traditional or native belief, that land is the our mother. All life grow in the land. So when our land is take over by others, that means our life also part of this. So we stand for human life, including us. Number second is we believe that indigenous still live in life, and God still put them to keep the life because they are part of balance of life in the world. When indigenous gone, and then modern technology can take over and we lose life. Today, lots of people, they talk about climate change. Why? Because the land already take over to the name of technology, the name of democratic, the name of all. So now the world, they're very confused about the situation of the world now. So today, very simple. We come here because we're very concerned about how protect our life, our side, but also we should become blessed to other people. And that's why Mabo did this, and the legacy, we should continue it. This morning, this day also, our Papuans, they move. They're going on the street, all city in Papua today. And also around 13 city around Indonesian territory. This morning, I just wake up and then I look, that our children already bloodshed now, this morning, in Jayapura. So in the highland also, so today is the day our leader Mabo talk about, and today our people also bloodshed ongoing now. The student movement. So around Indonesian territory, also around Papua, all organized very well. But we still try to keep our position as the side of those struggle for our right, because we talk about our land. I stand for our forest, our mountain, our river, and also our sea. And New Guinea is very close with Australia. So today I also share with you that I thought that maybe this is like a normal, but I think not normal, but it's part of spirit. Now West Papua also, they move today, they reorganize. And then today, this morning, start bloodshed. All children, their face is blood and all things, but they still keep. So the day today is very special, not only for Mabo, but he show us how become best freedom fighter. So in West Papua, we come with voice, not with gun. He's also come with his voice, his heart. And today we come to continue his legacy. So once again, on behalf of the people of West Papua, we still struggle. And I believe that all of us still struggle. As long as we still live in life, we always struggle. And very important is how we send message to other friends, neighbor, about how important is Mabo stand for. And I hope that every year we're remembering and we celebrate his legacy not only come like this one, but we can practice in our life that we should become blessed, because he talk about right, he talk about how safe the life, and when land is safe, and we save the human life. So I think this is a very important legacy he already put to us. And as indigenous people, we from New Guinea, we part of this continent, because before I assimilated Torres Strait, New Guinea, and this continent, we are one place. So once again, on behalf of the indigenous people, I would like to thank you all. God bless.
Thank you.